So Guru Purnima is coming up, and it's time for the devotees to repeat their smarana of Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes. And it's extremely purifying. The form of the Lord as manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified so much in Chaitanya Chandramurtam by Prabhupada Ananda Saraswati Pad, where he said that the world has never seen someone as munificent as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before, and neither will they experience that again. It's like whenever the Supreme Lord appears, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is once in the Divya Yuga, he manifests his Swayam Rup form. Others opine that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appears in other Kali Yugas, that he gives Vaikuntha Prema. But in this particular Divya Yuga, the manifestation of Vaivasvata Manu in the 28th cycle is special, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests himself very special. So this chapter, the 13th chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, is the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's full of great joy. Whether it is Dvipadi, whether it is two-step, two lines, or three lines, Tripadi. Tripadi comes from shloka number 98 till 124. That's basically that singing. But Chaitanya Charitamrita is basically sung anyway. And as all the shastras are ultimately meant to be sung. Singing means that there's a lahari, there's a rising happiness in the heart. When the heart is flooded by happiness of what the subject matter is, then the heart erupts into song. So Gita is sung, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be sung, Chaitanya Charitamrita is meant to be sung. I heard Prabhupada singing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So ultimately all the shastras have to be sung. I asked one Sanskrit pundit friend of mine about singing in Sanskrit in some aspects, and he says, "Is there any rules for singing?" And he said, "No, we've never heard any rules for it, because it's a sprouting of lahari, a sprouting of happiness." Generally, they sing according to the meter. Meter comes according to the length of the syllables, like in Chaitanya Chandramrita, for example. Srila Prabhupada Ananda Saraswati Pad uses basically five different meters in rotation. So it means that because of the length of the long and short syllables, there's going to be another way of singing it. But we may stumble. In our devotional life, we all stumble, mumble, grumble, and fumble. You know, really, as we do things. But the purification acts anyway on the heart, because the subject matter is about Lord Krishna and about Gauranga. And like that, so therefore, it purifies the heart. As Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions, Madhya Lila, chapter 25, verse 278, Yari Eka Bindu Pani, Utfalita Tonumani, Hasi Gai Kariye Nartan. If you drink even one drop of the pastimes of Krishna and Chaitanya, then Utfalita Tonumani, the body and the mind will blossom. And Hasi, you will laugh, and Gai, you will sing. And Kariye Nartan, and you will dance. This is called normal devotee. Laughing, singing, dancing is a normal devotee. So that kind of normality should be wished upon all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is most amazing. The confidential reasons for his appearance is in chapter 4 of Adi Lila. And what was amazing about it, I was reading in the in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the Madhya Kanda, about Gauranga's appearance in the same way. It was described how Sachimata was full of anxiety about her son, because after he came back from Gaya, he was absorbed in love of Godhead and was hardly externally aware. So the materialist in Navadvip, they said that he's become mad. So she became worried. He's my only son. My other son left and became a sannyasi. And my husband is gone. And he's all I got. So what can I do to help him out? So she was asking different people. And they would say, people would say, rub Vishnu oil on his head. You know, he'll become wetter. And different things. So Sachimata was in full with herself and anxiety over Gauranga's health and Gauranga's care. Is he become insane? And so she asked Srivast Thakur, although, you know, like many pictures in ISKCON, they depict him to be like a young boy. But actually, if you look in 1967, when Prabhupada was teaching Hayagriva how to do dramas, and he said that actually he's a middle-aged man. I would say rather late middle-aged, because he's practically on the same footing as Jagannath Mishra in terms of age. This is why his counsel was very beneficial for Sachidevi. And so when she asked him about the madness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he said, he's not mad. He's absorbed in love of Godhead. We would want his madness. And he said, you should not speak about this too much, because the more you speak about it, then he'll become concerned about it, your anxiety. And then you'll see much less. He said, better just to be silent about it, and you'll see more. You'll see more of his internal nature, he said. And that was a very interesting comment when you read that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Just don't say much about it. Just observe it. And you'll see more. And then she became pacified. When Srivast Thakur spoke to her like that, then she became pacified. So the 13th, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur's section here, Prabhupada usually quotes this from the introduction, he usually quotes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Amrita Prabhava Bhashya usually. This 13th chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. The entire Adilila section describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's household life. Similarly, the Antilila describes his life in the sannyas order. Within the Antilila, the first 6 years of his sannyas life are called Madhyalila. During this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu toured southern India, went to Vrindavan, returned from Vrindavan, and preached the Sankirtan movement. A learned Brahmana named Upendra Mishra, who resided in the district of Srihatta, was the father of Jagannath Mishra, who came to Navadvip to study under the direction of Nilambar. Purport. To describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Lord Sri Krishna, one needs supernatural power, which is the grace and mercy of the Lord. Without this grace and mercy, one cannot compose transcendental literature. By dint of the grace of the Lord, however, even one who is unfit for a literary career can describe wonderful transcendental topics. Description of Krishna is possible for one who is empowered. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Pravartan, Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila, Chapter 7, Verse 11. Unless endowed with the mercy of the Lord, one cannot preach of the Lord's name, fame, quality, form, entourage, and so on. It should be concluded, therefore, that the description of Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami manifests specific mercy bestowed upon the author. Although he thought of himself as the most fallen, we should not consider him fallen because he describes himself as such. Rather, anyone who was able to compose such transcendental literature is our esteemed master. End of the purport. Wow. The tradition of putting a Sanskrit shloka at the beginning of the work is a very long tradition. And it's very profound. The author thinks very carefully before they compose it. And usually that Sanskrit shloka in the beginning of the chapter is like sankshipt. It's like a concentrated potency of that entire chapter is enumerated in the mood of the writer. It's so pleasing. It's so pleasing. That first verse is like, it usually enlivens the mind. Because like in any type of writing, if there's, like even in modern articles, there is a lead, then you have the sequence of evidences that give substantiality to the lead. Then there is an ending. The series of events are called a chain. Then the end portion is called an ending. And the end portion is basically, it is like Siddhanta. It is like the conclusion statement. And because when they're publishing magazines or books or something like that, there may be a limit of space that the editor will allow, a limited number of words for paragraphs or statements. So in terms of writing, they call that like a pyramid scheme. So if you have to chop something off, you have to condense the middle portion of the chain. You can condense it a little bit more, chop out a few sentences, and you can make that pyramid smaller. Still, it should be all right. You know, you can include less detail, less elaboration in the chain of events, and just take the end sentences and stick it back on there, and it should be fine. The pyramid can be made shorter, but it's so the lead is important. If you miss them, if you don't catch their attention on the lead, forget them for the rest of it. People's attention span, specifically in Kali Yuga, is so less that if you don't catch them in the beginning, forget it. They've gone. They're not involved. They're not attentive anymore. So this is why it's interesting that he says it in Sanskrit. We'll continue reading. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Gaura Chandra. Jaya Dvaita Chandra. Jaya Jaya Nityananda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Advaita Chandra. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Jaya Jaya Gadadara Jaya Srinivas. Jaya Mukunda Vasudeva Jaya Haridas. All glories to Gadadara Prabhu. All glories to Srivas Acharya Prabhu. All glories to Mukunda Prabhu and Vasudeva Prabhu. All glories to Haridas Thakur. Jaya Damodara Sarpo Jaram Murari Gupta. Esava Chandraye Tamakaya Lalupta. All glories to Sarup Damodara and Murari Gupta. All these brilliant moons have together dissipated the darkness of this material world. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandra Bhakta Chandra Gaun Sabara Prema Jyotsnaya Ujvala Tribhuvan. All glories to the moons who are the devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. Their bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. It's interesting how Kaviraj Goswami glorifies the Parshada, the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with whom he performed these sweet pastimes. And then he glorifies them in this fifth shloka, that these devotees are moons of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra, and their bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, when the Lord was glorifying his devotees. It also states in Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Madhya Lila, chapter 15, when Gauranga would meet his Bengal Parshadas in Puri, and he would sometimes glorify their wonderful mood and devotion. And he would state there that these devotees, they can sell me in the market for whatever they like. They can distribute me to anyone, sell me in the market for whatever price they like. It was like a unique statement that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so indebted to these devotees. And some of them, like Advaita Acharya, by their loud calling, they called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear. And Mahaprabhu was so gracious, he was saying that out of affection for those particular devotees, he appeared. And he does his pastimes out of their specific affection. Some of them, like the names of Parameshwari Das, for example, that simply by remembering their name, you could get prema. By remembering their name. What to speak of what they stood for, what their activities were. By remembering their name. So these were not ordinary associates. Many of them, as described in Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, that they were Krishna's personal associates from Golok Dham, and they appeared. They have their Vraja Sarups, and they appeared. Some of them, like when Lord Nityananda came back from Puri, having been ordered by Gauranga to get married and settle down in Bengal, and not come very often to Puri anymore. When Gauranga was absorbed in his Antyalila, he became internally absorbed, so much so that sometimes he was not even conscious. And this is when, in the Ratiyatra period, when his devotees would come from Bengal for a long time. So, not to disturb them, that they took so long, you know, to walk. It's not a joke walking 10 days, you know, from Bengal through the forest and this and that to go to all the way to Puri and like that. So they took so much trouble. And yet, sometimes Gauranga was so absorbed in Krishna conscious ecstasies that he was hardly externally aware in the later aspect of his Antyalila. So he told devotees like Nityananda Prabhu, you don't need to come. You don't need to come. You just stay in Bengal and preach. You don't need to. But because they wanted to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came anyway. So it was described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that when he was going back to Bengal, he stopped at Panihati Dham, which was Raghav Pandit's place. And so when he went there, he was exhausted from his travels. So he asked them, please give me a bath. So they gave him a bath and bring some cloth. They brought some nice silk cloth for him and some ornaments, some ornamentation. They brought some different ornaments, silver ornaments and so many things for him. And he's shone resplendently by that love of the villagers. Then out of his causeless mercy, Nittai showed himself as Balarama. He just like manifested that. And immediately his parishioners that were with him, they were the Dwadasha Gopalas, along with Purnananda, Gadadhar Das, was actually Purnananda Sakhi, Vrindavan Das Thakur says. She was not a Sakha. And it was Purnananda in Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, Balarama's chief gopi. Immediately, they just changed it to the Vraja Sarups. And as long as Nittai was manifesting himself as Balaram, they just did that to please Balaram, for his pleasure. And then, when Nityananda wanted to manifest his Gauranga Sarupa, Gauranga Leela Sarupa, Gaura Leela Sarupa, then they returned back to their forms. It's very unique, actually, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So we see these, glorifying these devotees, that how wonderful they really are. And because they were described as moons of themselves, surrounded by the principal moon, just like Krishna's associates, Radha Krishna's associates, Lalita Devi, etc., etc. They were all powerful and leaders in their own right, but they got their energy from Sriji, from Radharani. So they got energy from her, and they were inspired by her, so they associated with her. But actually they were greatly powerful in their own right. So in the same way that these are all described as moons, glorifying the principal moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's nice. Prabhupada's purport. It's a nice purport. In this verse, we find the moon described as Chandragon, which is plural in number. This indicates that there are many moons. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Nakshatranam aham shasi, among the stars, I am the moon. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 21. All the stars are like the moon. Western astronomers consider the stars to be suns, but Vedic astronomers, following the Vedic scriptures, consider them moons. The sun has the ability to shine powerfully, and the moons reflect the sunshine. And therefore, look brilliant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is described to be like the sun. The supreme powerful is the supreme personality of God and Sri Krishna, or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his devotees are also bright and illuminating because they reflect the supreme sun. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Krishna Soraya Sama Maya Haya Andakor Ajaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikor. Krishna is bright like the sun. As soon as the sun appears, there is no question of darkness or negligence. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 31. Sanatan Shiksha. Similarly, this verse also describes that by the illumination of all the moons, brightened by the reflection of the Krishna sun, or by the grace of all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the entire world will be illuminated, despite the darkness of Kali Yuga. Only the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga. The ignorance of the population of this age. No one else can do so. We therefore wish that all the devotees of the Krishna conscious movement may reflect the supreme sun and thus dissipate the darkness of the entire world. This reminds me, Prabhupada's purport here reminds me of the wonder of Devikinandan Das's Vaishnava Vandan bhajan. His history is pretty amazing. Gauranga Prem Swami was mentioned to me that he, by some estimates, he was the person who was Gopal Chapala, who had actually offended Srivast Thakur. And then by getting the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, God gave very angry with him, blasted him, and told him that he was suffering from leprosy as a result of offending Srivast Thakur. And so he was suffering in his leprosy. He was actually a Brahmana. So when Gauranga saw him, he begged at Gauranga's feet for release from his disease. And then Gauranga said, "You should die. But that's all right. After you die, Yamaraj will really get you and you really suffer." And then he said, "But you're Patita Pavan, you're the deliverer of the fallen, so I'm very fallen, you should deliver me." "No, you have to go and approach Srivast Thakur and apologize. There's no way out otherwise." So then, hearing Gauranga speak thus, then Srivast Thakur went back. Gopal Chapala went back and apologized. Now Srivast Thakur, on ocean of mercy, he never considered anything on his own. So he didn't take it personally. He didn't take the incident, he just like threw it over his shoulder. Not such a big significance, he thought. But the disease continued. The leprosy continued. So then the only thing you could conjecture was that Srivast Thakur forgave him, but Sri Krishna was not willing to do so. The reaction was continuing. What to do now? So then he saw Nityananda in the market. So he fell down at Nittai's feet and said, "Gauranga has instructed me to apologize to Srivast Thakur, and I did so. Yet the disease is still continuing. What should I do?" Then Nittai told him, "Well, with the same mouth that you have offended the devotees, you should glorify the devotees." Then Gopal Chapala asked a very interesting question, that in order to glorify someone, you have to be amazed at their quality. He said, "Otherwise you'll glorify artificially. You won't do it from the heart." So how do you do that? How do you glorify genuinely? Then Nityananda smiled and said, go ask Srivas Thakur. The very person that he's offended. Nitai asked him to go take shelter of him and ask him that question. So he turned around and he went back to Srivas Thakur. And he asked that question. And Srivas Thakur replied that try to serve a devotee. When you serve a devotee, you'll understand the glories of the devotee. And then from your heart, you will glorify. Well, who would give me shelter? Who would actually help me understand that? Then Srivas Thakur said, why don't you approach Purushottam Thakur, Nityananda's Priyapatra? He's very merciful. Approach him. He may help you. So then he went to Purushottam Thakur and served. And then he served him. And Purushottam Thakur was merciful enough and initiated him as Deviki Nanda Das. Then he wrote that famous bhajan, Vaishnava Vandan. And each shloka of that bhajan is so amazing. It's just like from the previous verse, it just rolls. Just like a snowball rolling down a mountain, you know, in the winter. It just like picks up snow and accumulates and gets bigger and bigger. Like that. So from each previous shloka, it just like rises in potency as it just rolls down the verses, one after another. And each verse is getting more potency and power from the previous verse. And just the point is just the conclusions are just continuing to roll. And it's so ecstatic, like this. One of them is that Brahmanya Tarite Kurti Jari Jane Jane Evida Purane. It says that this is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing his mercy. And Brahmanda Tarite Shakti, that they have the power, these associates of Lord Gauranga have the power of delivering an entire universe. Brahmanda Tarite Shakti. They have the power to make a whole universe liberated. Jare Jane Jane. And even their followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their followers are able to do so. Aveda Purana. This is mentioned in the Vedas and the Puranas. Kori Khyati. It's mentioned there. About it. And so it's like, when I was reading that, I thought, wow, it's amazing. He said, but I don't have the power. Then he continues to sing that, actually, but I don't have the power to understand these glories of these devotees because of my arrogance and my offenses at their feet. Dhamma Matra Kori, he said. It's like, when you meditate on that, it thought, it takes a great thing to think about what you're doing wrong and what you're doing wrong, what's caused the ignorance of anda, you know, anda tamishra, the coverings of ignorance that cover you over. What is the cause of the covering? What's causing the covering to happen? And it's so his humility, as he mentioned it, it's, you have to, unless you understand you made a mistake and deeply thought about it, the results of it, the consequences of it, there's no question of remorse. And unless there's remorse and intellectually calculating what should be done, then there's no question of rectification. So he mentions there about it. And when you read that, it's like it has to be a piece of stone not to cry from that. Now what I haven't gotten yet in my hand, that Gauranga Prem Swami told me that there's a book called Bhakti Tattva Sar, and in that book they claim that there are three other bhajans which are attributed to Deviki Nandanas, which describe more about the glory of the Vaishnavas. They're very similar mood, so that's why they attribute it to him. I think I got that book finally, but I didn't get it transcribed yet. So it's something that I'm lacking. I thought maybe the adhikara, the qualification, has not yet become ripe. So it's something to think about. So these are how the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Devikinanda Das describes wonderfully in his bhajan, how wonderfully the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are, and how we should be so grateful to be amongst them, and how powerful they are in distributing Chaitanya Nityananda's mercy. From our spiritual masters and other devotees like them, then we appreciate what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Otherwise, we don't have any ability to relate to them. So, Eta kahila grantaram vimukha bandha Ebe kahi chaitanya lila krama anubandha. Thus, I have spoken the preface of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now I shall give a synopsis of the entire book in the form of codes. 7. Pratame ta sutta rupe kareye ganan Pacheta hava vistari kariva vivarnan. First, let me state the pastimes of the Lord in codes, then I shall describe them in detail. 8. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Navadvipa Bhattari Atacha Lilasa Vatsara Pragata Bihari. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, adventing himself in Navadvipa, was visible for 48 years enjoying his pastimes. Chodashata Satta Sage Janamera Praman Chodashata Panchanane Hoile Antardan. Translation by Prabhupada. In the year 1407 of the Shaka era, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and in the year 1455 he disappeared from this world. Chavisha Vatsara Prabhu Koela Grihavas Nirantara Koela Kushana Kirtana Vilas. For 24 years, Lord Chaitanya lived in the Grihastha Ashram, household life, always engaging in the pastimes of the Hare Krishna movement. Chavisha Vatsara Sese Koreya Sanyas Arachabisha Vatsara Koelo Nila Chalivas. After 24 years, he accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas, and resided for 24 years more at Jagannath Puri. 12. Taramadye Chaya Vatsara Gamana Gaman Akabu Dakshina Kabu Gaura Kabu Brindavan. Of these last 24 years, he spent the first 6 years continuously touring India, sometimes in South India, sometimes in Bengal, sometimes in Vrindavan. Ashtadasa vatsara rohila nilacholi Krishna prema namamrite basha lasakali. For the remaining 18 years, he continually stayed in Jagannath Puri, chanting the Nectarian Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He inundated everyone there in a flow of love of Krishna. Angara se prabhura lila ani lila kyan madhya anta lila sesha lila radhuinam. 14. The pastimes of his household life are known as the Adi Lila, or the original pastimes. His later pastimes are known as Madhya Lila and Antya Lila, or the middle and the final pastimes. Adi Lila Madhya Prabhur Chateke Charita Asuta Rupa Murari Gupta Kurila Gratita. All the pastimes enacted by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Adi Lila were recorded in the form of codes by Murari Gupta. He's referring to this Chaitanya Charita, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. It's like one of the original works. It's like Prakrita. It's like a Sanskrit, but it's Prakrita. It's not complete Sanskrit. But it's one of the works that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami used in compiling Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhu ya ye se salila sarupa damodar sutra kori grantalina grantira bitar. His later pastimes, Madhya Lila and Antya Lila, were recorded by a secretary, Sarup Damodar Goswami, thus kept within a book. That curvature of Saurabh Damodara is lost. It's the original Grantha. Krishnadas Kaviraj had it and he used it, but it's no longer extant. It's no longer present. It disappeared somehow, fell apart. I was talking with a godbrother who was involved in translating a lot, Mukunda Dutta, great soul. And he told me that, unfortunately, that many of those people who were living as renunciates, Babaji's like that, sometimes their disciples were not so qualified. So they would use these granthas would fall apart. And sometimes they would fall apart due to the weather, to the rainy season. Sometimes they were neglected. And in subsequent generations, they didn't treat them properly. Some of them, they just gave them away to other people. Sometimes they used them as firewood, as fuel. Heaven forbid. But that's what happened. Some of them, when the Mughals invaded, they killed so many sadhus, burnt so many literatures, broke so many temples. One Gaudiya Vaishnava in Puri, he must be in his late 60s, pushing 70. He told me personally in 1999, when I showed him one grantha that I found about Krishna Balarama, and written by Sundarananda's line. So he told me that the Kashi Mahatmyam, the book describing the glories and history of Varanasi, mentioned there that when the Mughals attacked Varanasi, the fires that they constructed to burning literatures went on for 3 years. 3 years of fire, burning libraries. And the controller of the libraries, they took, smuggled out different granthas and they gave it to their disciples. And they went through the forest incognito to South India. And that's what we've got left. He said, otherwise, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his book, is a book called I think it's Sri Krishna Samhita. In that book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is preaching to the rationalists of Bengal, intellectual, and he was describing a history of Bharat a little bit in one of those chapters. And there he mentioned that it was very good that actually the British Raj came along and kicked out the Mughals in, it was like 1756, something like that, when they banished the last Sultan of Delhi, Shah Zafar Bahadur. They banished him to Burma. And Bhaktivinoda says it was actually very good that the British came and did that. He said, otherwise, the Mughals might have finished it all off. They might have continued to try to finish Vedic culture. They might have tried to finish the whole thing off. Now, that was an interesting comment of Bhaktivinoda Thakur there. So, it's a shocking thing to hear that the fires of Varanasi, where they had many, many Sanskrit libraries, were burning for 3 years. But this is one way we can try to understand that how renunciates who wrote literatures, who relished literatures, sometimes their disciples and their people were not so internal. That's why I was impressed by the statement of one sadhu. It said, the reality is, do the children or the disciples, do they ever come up to the father or the grandfather? We cannot even come up to their mudra. As he was describing, quoting from Chanakya Niti, if the child was well behaved, learning the Shastra and respectful to the parents, then he's a fragrant flower in the forest, their dynasty. And if they're not, then they're not putra, they're mutra. Because putra and mutra come out of the same organ of the father. So it's a very interesting statement of Chanakya Niti by Chanakya Pandit. It gives us an understanding a little bit. Now, even materially speaking, externally speaking, when you look at yourself, like when I think of my childhood or anything like that, you know, from fallen Western background, nothing substantial. And the parents, but still the parents had some degree of determination, of some moral principles, some focus, goal of life, a goal of their activity. And the children hardly come up to that. They hardly come up to that. And what to speak would be here about our grandparents. They were much more focused than that. So, that's the thing. What to speak of our... So in the same way, our Gurudev, who was the real father of the disciple, their determination to write transcendental literatures, their determination to serve the mission, their energy, their ability, is very, very astounding. As we reach middle age, you know, we see that the ravages of middle age and disease strike, and yet we're amazed how our Gurudev did it, what he did, you know, how his energy was so strong like that, how he did it. And it's just like he like encapsulated the statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Amritavani, where he said that physical illness with Hari Bhajan is preferable to physical fitness without Hari Bhajan. So our Gurudev, his follower of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, worked hard on that point, that our bodies may get sick, that will always happen, but Hari Bhajan is more important. And he said another thing that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Amulyavani said that was very good. I have to ultimately memorize the Bengali of it because that's the original power. He said that we should always remember that we are here for a very short time. If the material body diminishes by service to Hari, by service to the holy name, then our efforts will be crowned with success. If the material body falls apart by serving Lord Hari, then our efforts will be met with success. We have to take care of our swasya, our health, but only for the service of Hari, as Bhagavatam mentions, 1st Canto, chapter 2, verse number 10. That one should desire a healthy life only as much as self-realization. It's nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So, we'll continue. So this Adi Leela was described in the forms of Murari Gupta. And Madhya Leela is described, Madhya Nantya Leela is described by Saurabh Damodar Goswami, kept within a book, as Kardacha. Okay, 17. Eduli Janero Sutra Tekiya Suniya Vananana Karena Vaishnava Kramaye Kariya. By seeing and hearing the notes recorded by these two great personalities, a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, can know the pastimes one after another. Balaya Poganda Kishora Jovana Charibed Ataiva Arikande Leela Charibed. In his original pastimes, there are four divisions. Balya, childhood, Poganda, middle, Kishor, youth, and Yovan, childhood, early boyhood, later boyhood, and youth. Sadava sadguna purnatam vande falguna purnimam yasyam sri krishna chaitanyo vatirna krishna namabi. 19. I offer my respectful obeisances under the full moon evening in the month of Falgun, an auspicious time full of auspicious symptoms, when Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had vented himself with the chanting of the holy name Hare Krishna. It's interesting that although the mother tongue of these Vaishnavas was Bengali, that when it came time for writing something that was extremely, you know, inspirational, they broke into Sanskrit. It's like amazing. They made a their inspiration would go into Sanskrit. Kaviraj Goswami did that a lot in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and as a result, it's like it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's favorite book. Prabhupada said there was a point about that I read from Bhakti Vikash Maharaj about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's statement. He said that in this world, if only two literatures remained, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there would be no loss. And if Srimad Bhagavatam was also loss to us, and there was only Chaitanya Charitamrita, still, there would be no loss. So it just gives you an idea about how powerful Chaitanya Charitamrita really is. It's got wonderful, wonderful Shastric conclusions to it that are extremely sweet and pleasing to the mind. And some of these verses, you can literally chew them for days. If you memorize them and think about them and chant them over and over again, they'll nourish you, your tissues, very deeply. You know, they'll nourish you for days. You can chew it. You can relish it from so many different paradigms, so many different perspectives. And that's what relishing is meant to be. Hasigai kariye nartan. Yari eka bindu pane. You'll just drink one drop, because you cannot drink the whole ocean. But one drop is sufficient. If it's one drop of transcendental happiness is sufficient. Yari eka bindu pane. Utvalita tonumani. Hasigai kariye nartan. Even one drop is sufficient enough to make you laugh, sing, and dance. That's how powerful Gauranga and Krishna Katha is. So because Gaur Purnima is coming up in a couple of days, therefore, we'll read more about the sweetness of this wonderful pastime. Falguna Purnima Samadaya Prabhura Janmodaya Seikale Daiva Jage Chandra Grahan Hoy. On a full moon evening of the month of Falgun, when the Lord took his birth, coincidentally, there was also a lunar eclipse. Hari Hari Bali Loka Harasita Haya Janamila Chan Chaitanya Prabhu Nama Janamaya. In jubilation, everyone was chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hari Hari. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then appeared after first causing the appearance of the holy name. Hari. It's interesting, they're chanting Hari Hari. The reason is because the Chandra Grahan, you know, when Rahu was coming and devouring Chandra, it's considered to be Ashubh, inauspicious. So they're chanting, they were bathing in the Ganga, immersing themselves half into the Ganga and chanting Hari Hari, asking the Lord to please remove this inauspiciousness. They were chanting the holy names, Hari Hari. They were asking the Lord, Hari is one who removes. So they were requesting, please remove this inauspicious nakshatra, you know, this inauspicious time, you know, because of Rahu. Rahu is trying to chew on Rahu. Rahu is trying to chew on Chandra. So it's inauspicious. So they were, Chandra Grahan, you're supposed to, during the Grahan Kal, you're supposed to bathe in the sea, or you bathe in a river, or you bathe in, like that, some tank. And the deities, according to the Pushti Margis, they do different things. They'll worship the deity because he's transcendental. They'll keep the deity darshan open, he's transcendental. But they won't give him any bhoga at that time. They won't feed him anything. You cannot, they put some kusha grass, if you have any leftover prasadam or anything, you have to put kusha grass on top of it to protect it. Otherwise, the grahankal will just make it all juta. You have to throw it out. They would say, you cannot eat anything or cook anything or anything at that time. You're supposed to just do harikirtan. Neither should you sleep either during grahankal. You shouldn't sleep either. He said like that. This is how it was. And in North India, they close the temples. They close the temples. They keep the temples closed outsiders. They don't come in at that time. And sometimes they go to places like during the Surya Graha, during when the sun is being chewed by Rahu, then that eclipse, then they go to Kurukshetra. And that's what Sri Krishna did with the Vrajavasis. And so even now, sometimes they run special trains like that, and they go to Kurukshetra for the Surya Graha, and big festival, big like a big mela. They'll come and they'll bathe in Brahma Sarovara, and lakh, 2 lakhs, 100,000, 200,000 people will come, lot, you know, like that, and they'll attend the festival for 2-3 days. And they'll see the Grahan Kala and they'll go to the Brahma Sarovara and everybody will go stay in the water and chant the holy names of the Lord. And then they'll have these baniyas, these businessmen out there. They want to get some punya, you know, some benefit. So they'll be out there at the Grahan Kala and they'll be professional beggars. And they come there just for that. Just like in Govardhan, you know, there'll be professional beggars that are on the road. You know, and after Purnima is over, they're put there from Ekadasi to Purnima. And afterwards, you know, 3/4 of them are gone.